If you will, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're continuing our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. We've come to verses 13 and 14. I thought we might finish the chapter, but silly me, I don't know what I was thinking. Kind of camped out on these first two verses here. Appreciate Brent reading. I think I've shared with you before the poem, The Road Not Taken, by Robert Frost. It was first published in 1915. I remember being in about third grade, not in 1915. I was not in third grade in 1915. That's when the poem was published. When I was in third grade, which would have been somewhere in the early 70s, I guess, we read just the last little part of the poem, and I fell in love with it. And it wasn't until several years later that I realized there was more to the poem than just that last little stanza. And when I found that poem in its entirety, I committed it to memory because I just loved it so much. Robert Frost said this: "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and perhaps having the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black, though I kept the first for another day, though knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Frost talked about there being two different roads, a fork in the road, if you will, one day, and he had to make a choice. And he said, "I took the road that was less traveled by, and that made all the difference in life." Jesus, here in Matthew chapter 7, speaks of two roads as well. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I think Jesus says that the narrow gate is difficult to enter. And it's difficult to enter not so much because it's hard to get through, but I think he says that it's difficult to enter because we can't take any of our earthly baggage with us. We can't bring anything with us through the gate. There's plenty of room for you to fit in, but you can't bring all of that stuff with you. There's no room for your pride. There's no room for selfishness. There's no room for ego. There's no room for self-righteousness. You will fit, but those things will not fit. Turn over to Luke chapter 13. We're going old school this morning, just like the apostles. No PowerPoint. You can smile or laugh or grin or anything you want to do this morning. Luke chapter 13. This is sort of a parallel passage to the Matthew 7. It's not exactly the same. It's not the Sermon on the Mount, but beginning in verse 22, I just want to think out loud with you this morning. Don't have a lot of notes to reference. I just want to go to the scripture and look at some things. Verse 22, then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Why is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem? Well, we go back to chapter 9 and verse 51. It says, as the time approached for him, Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Literally, it says, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. Why is he going to Jerusalem? He's going there to die. He's making his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. So back to chapter 13, verse 22. When Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem, as he made his way to be crucified, someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And Jesus said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. And then you'll say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. I want to point out this word, this phrase here in verse 24. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Make every effort. Your version may say strive. Strive to enter through the narrow door. The original language, the Greek there, is the word agone. Agone. Does that sound like a word that we might use today? Agony. I love it when the Greek sounds like the English, because I can understand that. Agone. Agony. Strive. Make every effort to enter through the door. That word agony in the Greek, it has the idea of a conflict, a struggle. Sometimes it was used in an athletic competition when you had to give everything you had, when you ran with every ounce of energy, when you strive to cross the finish line. That's the word that he's using here. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. What does that say to us? There's going to be struggle. There's going to be conflict. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. No one follows Jesus just because it's easy, because it's the easier way of life. If we're doing it right, it shouldn't be all that easy. It should be a struggle. It should be difficult. I think about a stream, and if you get into a stream, maybe you're in a canoe or a kayak or just an inner tube or a float, and when you come into the stream, you begin to flow downstream. You go with the flow, because that's the way the river's flowing, right? Our culture, our society is this big stream, and it's all flowing a certain direction, and it's all flowing towards hell, if you will. And when you become a child of God, when you enter through the narrow gate, it's as if you've turned around and now you're swimming upstream. You're going against the flow. And there's a struggle involved with that. And you know what happens if you're swimming upstream and you stop struggling? What happens? You begin to go with the flow, right? As Christians, there's never a time when we can just relax and go with the flow. There's agony involved. There should be agony involved. A struggle to enter through the narrow door, the narrow gate. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, this is a story that's very familiar to you. We know it as the story of the rich young ruler. Look at verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus, and he asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Well, which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." "Well, all these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Why was it so difficult for the young man? You notice, out of all the commandments that Jesus told the man, the one that he did not tell the man, he said, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't all that." Do you know which one he did not list? "Thou shalt not covet." Thou shalt not covet. Because that's what problem the young man had. That was his biggest struggle. When Jesus said, "Sell all that you have and come follow me," he said, he went away sad. Because you can't take all of that stuff with you through the narrow gate. You've got to leave it behind. You must be willing. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 14, I'll just quote it. Luke 14, he says, he's talking about a man who wants to build a tower. And he says, when he first starts to build a tower, what does he have to do? He needs to count the cost. He needs to say, "How much money do I have? Because if I start to build this and then I can't finish it, what's going to happen? People are going to laugh at me. Look what he started and he can't finish it." He didn't count the cost. Or suppose there's a king who's going to go to battle. And he says, "Well, I've got this many men." And he looks at the opposition, and they've got twice that amount. So he says, maybe I need to count the cost here. And if I think I can't go up against them and win, I'll send a delegation, and we'll make offer a peace before I wind up getting obliterated. And then Jesus says, in the same way, just like the man with the tower, just like the king, counting their cost, he says, in the same way, anyone who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to check everything at the gate, if you're not willing to give up everything, to hate your father, to hate your mother, to hate your children. Not hate in the sense that we think of it, but love them less. That's the way the word hate is used there. If you're not willing to love them less than you love me, Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. I think we've tried to make it so easy for people. Come to church. Come to Jesus. He'll save you. He'll forgive you all of your sins, and you'll get to go to heaven, and life will be great. We'll try to get you to join a small group and get you involved in a ministry or two. Everything will be hunky-dory. That's not the call. That's not the call that Jesus said. He said, with agony, strive, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate, to enter through that narrow door. It's not that God's trying to make it hard for you. It's a free gift. But you have to understand, it's the most exclusive club that there is. Because Jesus says, I'm the only way. I am the only door. I'm the only gate. There is no other way. Jesus in John 10 said, I am the gate. The sheep have got to come through me. And they'll follow me and they'll know my voice. That's why they'll follow me. Everybody else who tried to lead the sheep out were just liars and thieves. And he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I've come that they may have life, have it abundantly or have it to the full. Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's how exclusive it is. But it is the most inclusive invitation that there could possibly be. Everyone's invited to be a part of the most exclusive club that there is. Everyone, whosoever will, may come. I feel like somehow we've tried to make it too easy. It's a free gift of grace. It's free to everybody. So come. And that is true, church. It is so true that there is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. It is God's free gift. But entering the narrow gate is a struggle. We're swimming against the current of our culture, our society. Philippians chapter 3. I don't hear a lot of pages turning, so maybe there's a lot of Bible apps, a lot of scrolling. I can't hear your thumbs this morning, but maybe you're scrolling. Look at Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, beginning of chapter 3, says, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Then he talks about watching out for these Judaizers, these mutilators of the flesh. Easy for me to say. He says, if people have something to boast about, I have more to boast about. If you want to play that game, he says, I can boast. But then let's fast forward down to verse 7. He says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul was climbing the ladder faster than any of his peers. He studied under Gamaliel, one of the chief rabbis of the day. Paul was zealous for the law, zealous for God. And he says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, everything that I had, everything that I counted as gain, all of my schooling, all of the studying, all of the knowledge that I acquired, climbing up the ladder, all of that is rubbish to me. It's garbage. None of it means anything. The only thing that I want to know is to know Christ, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, not having a self-righteousness that comes from keeping the law, because you got to check that at the gate. That stuff won't fit. It won't fit. You can't bring it in. When you stand at the gate, when you find the narrow gate, all that's got to be checked. No baggage claim. No baggage allowed. Only Jesus. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. That's the only thing that mattered. That's what Paul said. It's the only thing that matters to me. The proverb says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. I fear that so many of us in the church feel like we're just okay. We're doing what we ought to do. We ventured out this morning when it snowed and we came to church. We ought to get 2 stars for that, right? You remember when you were a kid and you came to church and you got a gold star, you know, for attendance, and you could look and see all those gold stars, you know? That was just a good feeling. I fear that Satan has duped us into thinking that as long as we come to church, as long as we try not to sin, as long as we're better than most of the people around us, that we're okay. And I ask myself, what have I struggled with? What has following Jesus cost me? Has it cost me anything? Or am I in church because my parents took me to church? Because grandma and grandpa went to church. And that's just what we do. Or have I really struggled? Have I actually been converted? You see, there's the question I've got to ask myself. And I invite all of you to ask yourselves. Have I actually been converted to Jesus? I was talking to the preacher at Newburgh across the river a week before last. He has a class every Tuesday night about helping to train his people to evangelize. He said, Rodney, if we don't evangelize, and he's speaking of the black church mostly over in Louisville, he says, if we do not begin to evangelize, our churches will disappear. They're going to disappear. So it says, this whole year is about discipleship. It's about training. It's about evangelism, because we've got to bring more people into the kingdom. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he told me that they baptized like 100 people last year. 100 people they baptized into Christ last year. So I said, when I first came to Northside, I shared a class and I tried to help equip us to have some tools that would help us to share our faith, because so many people, they want to share their faith, but they're just afraid. They're scared. They don't know how to begin a conversation, a spiritual conversation. And he looked at me and he said, "I don't buy it." He said, "I don't buy it." He said, "If a man or a woman is converted to Christ, truly converted to Christ, there's no fear. They don't care what they look like. They're willing to become a fool for Christ, to look foolish to our world, to turn around and swim upstream. They don't care what they look like. They don't care what people say about them. If they've truly been converted to Christ, they don't care." So I have to ask myself, why am I not telling everyone that I see about Jesus? Why am I not willing to look foolish for Christ? If I have truly been converted, if I have truly entered through the narrow gate. No one follows Jesus just for fun, because it's an easier way of life. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction." Many, many enter through that. That's the easy path. I'm not talking about the difficulties and the struggles that everybody goes through, because we're human beings. We all struggle. There's cancer, there's sickness, there's tragedy, there's loss, there's death. That comes to all of us just because we live in a fallen world. We live on a fallen planet. And those kinds of things happen whether you are a faithful believer in Christ or whether you are agnostic or atheist. Those things happen to all of us. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about what have we encountered as a follower of Christ. What kind of struggles do we have because we say, "I follow Jesus. I am a disciple of His"? What has come to us? What sort of agony have we had to endure to enter through that narrow gate? The broad road is just that stream. When you step into the stream, you just head downstream. That's where everybody's going. Some are going faster than others, but everybody's just headed that direction. When we enter through the narrow gate, it's a struggle. It ought to be a struggle. Jesus said there's agony. You've got to make every effort. It's a tough thing to look in the mirror and say, I don't know what struggles I've had. I don't know that it's cost me much of anything to follow Christ. But I'm asking you, I'm asking that of myself. What has it cost me? Have I lost friends? Have I lost family? Have I lost anything dear to me? Have I sacrificed something, anything, to follow Christ? Have I said no to a car or a vacation so I could use that money for the kingdom, for mission work, to feed a family? Have I sacrificed anything? You say, "Preacher, this is not very encouraging this morning." And I know it's not. But that's what Jesus said. Are you willing to check everything at the gate? Your pride, your ego, your self-righteousness, your stuff, your material stuff? And say, Jesus, I want to know you more than I want anything. I want to know Christ. And everything I have, everything that I could possibly achieve is rubbish. It means nothing. Knowing you is all that matters. That's sobering. That's sobering to me. But that's what Jesus is calling us to. The narrow gate. Very few people are willing. Very few are willing to go through that type of agony, that struggle. But it is so worth it. I know it's going to be worth it. And I want to know Christ. And I believe you want to know him too.